Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, folks. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Walker Wildman, AFA Vice President of Operations. Do want to let you know, folks, that we are trying, Brent Creeley, our producer, is trying to post articles that we have discussed on Facebook. We are getting an error message and are not currently able to post these stories to Facebook. We've done a little investigation on our own. Walker has tried to post something to his own personal page, getting the same message. So we do not think at this point that it is anything sinister. It may just be a problem Facebook-wide. So
Keyword at this point.
At this point, that's right. We're never really quite sure. And so what we'll do is later on, we will, if this capability is back up, we will try to repost these stories or post them for the first time. So you will be able to access some of the articles that we have discussed on the program thus far. All right, joining us, as is typical, Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And good afternoon,
and
for,
good
those
afternoon for those
who are on
the
Eastern, in the Eastern time zone.
That's right. And in England.
Yes, and onward and
until
eastward.
It's morning again.
And until it's morning again in America. Yes, a famous line from a Ronald Reagan speech. All right, Steve, bring us some news, man.
Breaking news. Just in the last couple minutes, Brent Creeley has broken Facebook.
Brent Creeley has broken Facebook. That is breaking news.
It is.
Literally.
No pun intended.
Yes.
Or pun intended.
Pun intended. With Steve, the puns are always intended.
That's right.
They're rarely funny, but they are always intended.
And then Steve's mic cuts off. Brent accidentally cuts Steve's mic off.
You've now been shadow banned.
He does have an awful lot of power there, doesn't he? I wanted to start back. We talked yesterday about this young lady from Ohio. Her name is Gabby Helsinger, and she's the girl that she's a freshman in high school at Lebanon High School in maybe Lebanon, she walks into school one day and sees that there's a bunch of LGBT pride flags, and it was Gay Pride Day or whatever.
And these are posted by the school's Gay Straight Alliance.
Right.
CSA.
Gay Straight Alliance is, it's the Big Gay has put these clubs in all the school, as many
a
schools
lot of
as
schools,
they can.
Yeah.
And so it bothered her a bit. So she went and started posting Bible verses. That didn't go over so well with the school. And she got an in-school suspension. I want you to hear in her words exactly what happened and why. This is Gabby Helsinger, cut five.
So on Thursday when I got to school, I seen that there were pride flags, posters around my school. And I felt the need to write down some Bible verses so I could put them around my school. I seen the teachers taking them down. And the next day, I got called to the office, and I have an ISS, which is an in-school suspension. I seen that there was people in my school that needed help. They don't need to be living in the confusion of wondering if they should be gay, bi, lesbian, trans, anything like that. I know that God is the only way that they can be healed by that. And that's why I did it. I asked him why every time Jesus or God or anything like that gets brought up in school, it gets taken down straight away. But we can put gay and pride stuff all over the school and not have to take it down, and people can talk about it.
Well, we talk about this in our story meeting. Now, that's the first time I've heard her voice. She sounds young, which to me makes her even more courageous. This is obviously a young person who is brave enough and loving enough to reach out to her classmates in the name of Jesus. I would understand the school's position a little bit more if, was it Gabriel?
Gabby.
Gabby. If she hadn't also said that kids post stuff all the time on lockers and bulletin boards. It's not pre-approved by the school. It's just, as she said, when she posts something up about Jesus or God, that's when it gets taken down and she's been punished. Now, the GSA, these gay straight alliances, are supposedly student-run. They do have a school sponsor from the faculty. They are officially recognized clubs. Okay, that's problematic for me, but that's I'm just explaining what it is.
They're following the rules.
They're following the rules. So I would understand the school if they crack down on everyone who posts stuff that's not pre-approved. But they apparently, according to Gabby, that they don't do that. So it looks like they're zeroing in on anything Christian.
And she makes a very good point there about it seems in her case that you know, if you post something about a picnic or a, you know, get together movie night or something, whatever, it doesn't seem to draw criticism as much from administration officials. But if it's something that makes people uncomfortable, like a Bible verse or something, then all of a sudden people jump on it. And but the interesting thing here is, and this goes on around the country, not the Bible verses being pulled down, but these gay straight alliances, the LGBT lobby being in schools and colleges, it goes on across the country, and it does seem that they are showed favoritism when it comes to whether they get their big day on campus or not, get posters put everywhere. Because I know in my case, my personal experience here, when I went to a university here in Mississippi, the half of the college campus doors or windows to like an office or a classroom, whoever was in the classroom or the office, they could choose whether they wanted to put they called it a LGBT safe zone.
Right.
Or a gay pride safe zone.
Because Christians are wandering the hall beating up gay people.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, tongue completely in cheek. And so but you would wonder, one wonders, and I really wanted to test this out, I just never got up the courage to, what would the university say if we wanted to put like free speech safe zone or even Christian safe zone or something like that? If everybody put up those stickers too, would that be okay, or do we need to start regulating which stickers get put on doors or not?
Well, I think we all know the kind of the answer to what that would be, because the pro-homosexual side of things is protected on college campuses and increasingly in public schools. And let me just say, for those who are listening and say, well, I don't even know if there's a GSA, a Gay Straight Alliance, in my child's school, you can find that out. Here's what some Christians have done, because a lot of kids will join these things just on a whim. They go to the school, the principal or whoever, and they say, I understand that kids are allowed to have these GSAs if they want, but we want to make sure that kids, like with all the other clubs, get permission from their parents to join. If you can get that to be a requirement, what happens is that a lot of kids won't join the GSA because they don't want their parents to know they're pushing this.
Right.
And so that is one way to fight back on these GSAs. I don't think that there's a wave. I think probably there are kids who are picked on for being homosexual. I know that happened when I was growing up, not to me, but
especially
to other kids, you know, in school. And, we've always recommended that when principals talk about this, we say, listen, what we want you to do is to say kids shouldn't be bullied for any reason.
Right.
But what these GSAs do is they make a special case out of homosexuals being bullied, and they have sensitivity training for other students, so on and so forth. That is giving a special emphasis to the homosexual side of it. We prefer, I'm saying parents, saying to principals, we prefer that you teach kids not to bully for any reason. So not for being overweight, not for being Christian, not for having a buzz cut, and that way you don't promote a homosexual ideology.
I'm not taking issue. I agree with everything you said. It's my experience, and this comes from Colorado when my kids were in school, was that the gay bullying is, I think it is down to almost nothing. And I don't have stats to prove this or back this up, but my anecdotal view, and I was a parent sponsor on several of my kids' trips, and I saw this. the gay kids are just like heroes. The girls are all giggling. Oh, who do you think is cute? Yeah. And it's just, oh, I mean, it is so accepted. I wanted to also kind of further this story a little bit. I have a copy of some of the verses that Gabby put up on the lockers, and they're not, you know, God hates homosexuals, you know, that kind of stuff. One of the verses was 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become, it's hard, my copy is hard to read, but another one says, I'm sorry, I had just I look unto Jesus, the finisher, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, displaying the shame. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. Jesus said to him, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, these are verses that are not.
Yeah.
They're not even dealing with homosexuality.
No, and what would be great here, and maybe she's doing this. What's her name, Gabby?
Gabby. Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
What would be great is for her to form a student group.
Right.
Called some kind of Christian student group. And to have to try to get the school to allow them to set aside a day where they get to post scripture on the bulletin board,
yes,
and across the school, just like any other group.
I know a couple of legal groups that might be able to help them with that.
Yeah, the Good News group, which is in elementary schools.
This is a high school, but there's
I'm saying is that they have won in court numerous times that you have to allow them to have Christian groups if they want to start it, because you're not limiting the subject matter of what these kids can meet about.
Exactly.
When I went to the website I went to her Facebook page or her mom's Facebook page to grab the sound that you just heard a little while ago, the hate that is coming toward this young lady. Now, yesterday it was a lot of that. There's been a rebound this morning when I went to check. There's a lot of support for her too. But some of the things that were posted on her page, she needs to mind her own business and stop. She knows what that means. She's such a judgmental child. If Gabby and her mother were really serious about this, they would look at themselves. They forgot gluttony is a sin. Huge drama queen, insane persecution complex. You're nothing but a bigot, sweetie.
The problem here, and Ed hinted at it, about, you know, of course, everyone should be against bullying of any student. But the problem that the homosexual lobby, what they've done successfully, is they have convinced a lot of people that simply disapproving of behavior is then bullying.
Yes.
Disapproval equals bullying and denigrating and putting someone down as a person. And that is where the line gets blurry. And so that's what's unfortunate, is we're all like, of course we don't need to bully students. And then the left goes, well, then you need to quit. You need to quit telling them that you disagree with their lifestyle.
Right. Because that's bullying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, Gabby is a very brave young lady.
Yeah.
She's what, 15 years old?
A freshman, 14 or 15.
Freshman, okay. So this is a young lady. I hope that there are other Christians in her school who will be as bold or even bolder in sharing their faith. You don't have to be a jerk to share your faith, mm-hmm. okay? So, you know, do it in a loving way, but it does require nowadays a boldness that maybe is lacking in a lot of our young people, because no one wants to receive the kind of reactions that Gabby is. Folks, pray for this young lady. What's her last name?
Helsing.
Helsing. Okay, Gabby Helsing.
Helsinger.
Pray for her, because she's stepped into a hornet's nest, and she just wants to see her classmates come to know Jesus.
Yep.
All right.
The next story that we've talked a lot about here is the story with Nick Sandman. He's the young Catholic kid who went to Washington, D.C. with his classmates to march for life. And then the next day they were standing waiting by the Lincoln Memorial to get picked up by a bus. And lo and behold, a group of activists, including a Native American guy with a drum, show up and start banging his face. And all of a sudden, the narrative gets out there that this guy is showing up, this Indian, and that he was the one that started this harassing, and that he's impolite, and he's rude, and he's anti-whatever.
And his classmates surrounded this guy,
right.
Wouldn't let him move.
And that's what took off. And I mean, it took off big time. And for a while, a day or so, everybody was, you know, just bagging. In fact, his own school
threatened to expel him.
Yeah. And it later turned out, not a day or so later, that the full video shows that he was just doing what he was told to do, stand here, wait for your bus, and this other guy approached him with the drum. And so the truth kind of came out, but all the media outlets that had been haranguing this guy, they just kind of let the thing, either they let the story kind of fade away or else they doubled down on his smirk or whatever it was. Well, good for him. He got a lawyer, and he sued. He is suing. And so, first of all, we told you that he is suing the Washington Post for $250 million. And we also told you yesterday that he is suing CNN for $250 million. They don't plan on stopping. His lawyer is lining them up. They say they're going to go after the Associated Press for HBO, against Bill Maher, against Kathy Griffin. There's a bunch of lawsuits coming.
Well, and Bill Maher, of course, is a famous atheist who has a show on HBO, kind of a comedy political commentary show. Kathy Griffin, kind of a D-list actress and comedian.
She's the one that held up the severed
head of President Trump. She's right. Very, very caustic in her commentary, very ugly in the things she says. She was one of those who went after Nick Sandman.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So they're all basically going to have to explain themselves. I don't know how far this is going to go in terms of what judges allow, but who knows? Maybe we talked about it in our story meeting. Walker, I like what you had to say about what this might do going forward.
Yeah, this should, and the media market, if you will, and really not just the media, but anybody who posts something, this should hopefully cause media companies, journalists, and others who have a large voice to be more thoughtful and careful about accusing people of things that are fake,
that have not been done.
Because I know the libel and the slander, the bar to meet that is very high, and maybe for a good reason. I think it is for a good reason, even though sometimes we don't like it. But there has to be a threshold where someone has to be held accountable for example, the media outlets who ran the headline that white Trump supporter bullies Native American, period, as a statement of fact, not reportedly or allegedly. They've stated it as if it had happened for sure. All the evidence is out there, and it hasn't. The media outlets have to answer for that and be more thoughtful.
And to your point, we've had Abraham Hamilton III on the show since this happened, asking what are his chances for meeting the bar that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And he said it helps that he was not a public figure. If you're a public figure, you have very few rights in terms of suing for libel and slander. The bar is very high. You have to prove malice. You have to prove intent to damage reputation, all those kinds of things. But for someone who's not a public figure, the bar, Abe says, is a little bit lower. So maybe Nick Sandman gets some traction in this. And like you said, maybe this is going to cause some of these outlets, especially those on the left, cause them to be a little bit more careful when it comes to someone who's not already in the public eye.
Yeah, and you know, it was really disappointing during the Roy Moore campaign, and also we saw this with the Judge Brett Kavanaugh confirmation battle, where all it takes now is one person to launch an accusation, and then all the major media outlets basically run the headlines that somebody's a sexual predator, they've sexually assaulted people, and yeah, they use the word allegedly or reportedly, but then the reputation's ruined, whether it's true or not.
You can't get that back.
And the media outlets don't really have to have a lot of evidence.
Well, and here's another complication for that, and that is that over the last 10 years, maybe a little bit more, we've had a blending of news media and entertainment. So, you know, it used to be Jon Stewart. Now you have some of the others on Comedy Central. But you have a lot of these comedians, people like Bill Maher. You go, you know, is he, is Jimmy Kimmel, are they making political commentary or are they just making a joke?
Right.
And nobody really can separate those two. So you'll get a lot of people say, oh, I was just kidding. Just kidding about this guy being a predator.
Right.
Or just kidding about that. And it makes it harder and harder to say, well, listen, you're a journalist. You're supposed to be reporting the facts, but you didn't say allegedly.
Right.
You reported it as if it was true. Now you have that blending of news and
you have
entertainment.
In many cases, they have one source.
Yes.
One source, which is problematic.
Right. All right, Steve.
Just breaking here, Paul Manafort has been sentenced to 73 or 3.5 more years by a judge who says he's still lying. So this is just kind of breaking now.
To additional 3.5
additional
years.
Three and
in
half
addition
years.
To what?
I did four.
I think it was four.
Four?
Yeah.
So it would be 7.5?
7.5, yeah.
Okay.
So, and just a couple of things. I just wanted to bring you some important foreign stuff. I don't know if we talked about the UK Brexit vote.
We have not.
But Theresa May, the Prime Minister in England, was soundly defeated yesterday with a vote about whether or not, or the plan to leave the European Union. And they are worried because the clock is ticking. In 3 weeks, some things that are preset and unchangeable start to happen. And according to what I'm reading, a no-deal Brexit vote says that it could lead to chaos at ports in England, grounded flights, traffic jams, food shortages. It's like, why to Brexit? It's just like, but they are really, they're putting a pre-purpose, a Cold War era emergency escape plan for Queen Elizabeth. They're not joking around. And the trade and the global economy is all wrapped up in this. So it's chaos in Britain.
Well, it
right
shows
now
how entangled the European Union is.
Right.
So Brexit would mean that the UK would pull out. But what does that mean for travel to the continent?
Right.
What does that mean for shipping into the ports? And do they institute tariffs and all those kinds of things were supposed to be hammered out? The deal, I'm not an expert on this, but my understanding is that the deal that was defeated yesterday was kind of half a deal, half of what people wanted when they wanted to leave.
It's been a negotiation between Parliament and the EU.
Right.
The EU doesn't want them to leave, but they can't stop them, really, but they're putting some ties. Interesting things like under the EU, anybody can move to any other country they want. It's all the EU. But what now if they leave? What about the people that have moved from Germany or France or whatever, and or maybe some of the migrants, people fleeing the Middle East have moved there, and do they now have to go back and vet all those people again because they didn't, they couldn't vet them before?
You know, this is a the reason that this is being delayed, if you will, is because this is a blow to globalism.
Yes.
This Brexit is a huge blow to the globalist agenda of having this one world government. Everybody's on the same page. Everybody answers to the same person. This is a blow to that agenda. And there are forces after forces, money, billions of money going against this Brexit. And I really think it's a disservice to the people of Britain that they've had to wait 90 plus months to leave on something they voted on.
Yeah, and there are other countries watching to see what happens that could also, we could be seeing the end of the EU.
Well, and to me, one of the hardest things is that the Parliament could actually overturn that vote to leave.
Yeah,
the
which is that problematic.
Yeah.
All right, folks, anyway, we will continue to follow that and other issues in the days ahead. And you can check out One News Now because they will be following it on a daily basis, onenewsnow.com. And folks, that's all we have for today on today's issues. More great programming directly ahead on the American Family Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.